7 nights, because the first night the oil burned naturally. So why do we light 8 candles? So I have a cute, passable answer. Could be that it's been said, because so many answers have already been said for the Beis Yosef's question. And it's based on the Gemara Menachos. The Gemara says that it's aser to make a 7-branched candelabra, menorah, chandelier, sconce, light fixture, whatever you want to call it. And the Chachamim of that generation knew that if they made 7 lights or 7 days of Hanukkah with 7 candles, everyone would go around making 7 branch menorahs, which would be a potential Isser D'oraisa. So even if the Pasha thing to do would be to make a 7, you know, 7 nights of Hanukkah, 7 candles, they made 8 in order to avoid that. Now we have 8 branch menorahs, 9 branch menorahs if you have a shamish, but no one's going around making 7 branch menorahs because you just wouldn't be able to use it for all of Hanukkah. Again, l'chora, just halach l'maisa, that people who have the minhag to light 1 candle for each of the children, and they have an aesthetic sense that all of the candles have to be part of the same candelabra, and they have 5 children who could get into potential Isser D'oraisa if they make or use a 7 passively, a 7 branch a candlestick. There's a discussion in the postgame about whether it's D'oraisa or whether it's D'rabbanan. We have here a nice picture of a 7 branch candelabra, which is potentially Isser, but you can buy it on the internet nonetheless. So I want to just say some thoughts about 7 branch candelabras. There is a machlokes, which the Minchas Chinuch already alludes to, about what the source is for this Isser of making a 7 branch candelabra. Some Rishonim, the Rambam, includes it in the mitzvah of Meira HaMikdash. In order to have proper awe of something, we need to preserve its uniqueness, which has replicas all over the place. You're not really going to look at it the same way as something which is unique. And therefore, the uniqueness of the Beis HaMikdash must be preserved, and the way that we preserve that is by never replicating the mikdash or the clay mikdash. Get into shilas, what about metals, what about for educational purposes, etc. But for the most part, that's the Rambam says, we don't replicate it in order to preserve the uniqueness, and hence the Meira HaMikdash. In contrast, we have this is on the bottom page. For purposes of reading it inside, I have the Chafetz Chaim's Sefer HaMitzvah HaKatzar, where he includes the Isser of manufacturing replicas of the Klei HaMikdash under the prohibition against making statues, graven images, etc. Lo tasoni ti, Elohi chesef, Elohi zahav, lo tasun lachem. Lo tasoni ti means lo tasun kidimus shamashai hamishamshin lefana. You're not supposed to make any image of my mishamshim. And my mishamshim might mean the sun and the moon and the stars, or mishamshim in the olamos ha'alyonim, and it might refer to the Klei HaMikdash, which are the mishamshim in the olam hatachton, in our world. So you have these two potential separate sources for the mitzvah, or the isser, of replicating the Klei HaMikdash. So I thought that there are 3 possible nafkaminas between them. One possible nafkamina, it's one which is not on the sheet, but possibly the most common nafkamina for anything which involves Avodah Zarah. And that is... Right, is it Rabbi Zvayud Avodah Zarah or not? Now, we definitely know that there are things which the Rambam associates with Avodah Zarah which are not Yehareg Vayavar. It depends on the definition of Abizrayu, which I've not researched thoroughly enough to say anything about. But at least potentially, if you hold of the Chafetz Chaim here, then this could potentially be part of Abi Zraya d'Avodah Zarah. And if you hold of the Rambam, then it's not Abi Zraya d'Avodah Zarah. So that's one passable nafkamina. The Rambam does write that the original Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah was the Yetzer Hara to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Meshamshim. If the president is a great person, let's say, so you want to show kavod to him, and you also pray kavod to the vice president or the secretary of state. So I, the secretary of state, his whole job is just to carry out the president's instructions and make recommendations to the president. He has no independence. He's not even like a senator or a congressman who is responsible to his own constituency and has a certain amount of independence. The secretary of state is a direct employee of the president, and nonetheless, the Secretary of State gets a certain measure of kavod because he is the top representative of the president in matters of state. So that's why people said, oh, the sun, the moon, the stars, even back then, we'll assume their perfect intellects and whatever else was assumed about them in medieval philosophy, but they're Misham Shei Hashem, and so therefore they deserve kavod because of that role. And so it makes a lot of sense that anything which is the Misham Shei Hashem, which there would be a Yetzer Hara to worship or to give kavod derech avoda to, would also be included in the iser against manufacturing graven images. There's more to refine that formulation because it's not so pasha that giving kavod to the sun and moon and the stars, it's not an isser, it's kind of the kavod derech avoda. Derech avoda means either with belief that it has independent power, or with belief that, not belief, but the pledge to serve, which obviously is a little bit more narrow than just belief. A person can show kavod to something and believe that it's powerful even though he doesn't pledge to serve it. That's a machloka, that's whether that's considered avoda. If a person believes that it's powerful and pledges to serve it, so that everyone agrees is avoda. The Ramban though says that there's another type of avoda zara, which is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through some sort of an icon or physical representation, meaning to say I can't just serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly, but I need a symbol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to serve him. So that's a third type of avodah zarah, for somebody to set up a symbol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and then worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the mediation of that symbol. But it's hard to imagine that someone's going to set up a menorah as a symbol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's also hard to imagine that someone's going to worship a menorah with the belief that it has independent powers, and certainly to worship a menorah and pledge allegiance to that menorah, unless you say that people might worship a menorah believing that the menorah is a symbol of some sort of heavenly power, which is a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is symbolized in the Mishkan. So we might get into some complicated things, but however it works one way or another, the Chafetz Chaim does say, and Minchas Chinuch alludes to other Rishon who say this, that the Isser is Lotas Suniti, and that it's potentially Apizrayu Avodah Zarah. So that's one passable nafkamina. Second nafkamina.
I mean, for us, Bizman Azeh, someone, just having this, therefore, would probably not be in violation of that, Isser.
Because
there's no other significance attributed to it in terms of, its ability to act or pledge of allegiance of worship.
But the question is, there's an Isser to make graven images. So does that Isser go away, even though nowadays people don't really believe in idols anymore?
I thought the specific mode of this Isser was the fact that it's Derech Elokos.
I was just suggesting something to answer the following question. What's the connection? I know people serve the sun, people serve the moon, and therefore it's easy to understand why making images of the sun and the moon would fall under the prohibition against manufacturing idols or things that are easily become idols, but nobody worships the menorah, nobody worships the Aron. So why is manufacturing a menorah, why does it even loosely fall under that prohibition? So I was suggesting that the same mistaken rationale that led people to worship the sun could lead people to worship the menorah as well. And then I said, but it's not really the case, just because there's an intuitive difference between the sun and a menorah. It just seems laughable to worship a menorah. And then I said, but maybe it's not 100% laughable. We don't really understand the Avodah Zarah anyhow. But I was only saying that sort of to be matim with Tess, the comparison, not to actually refine or change the geder of the Isser. So that's nafkamina number one. Is it possibly Abizrayu? Nafkamina number two is the Beis Yosef in Yeradeya Kuf Mem Aleph, which is where the Shulchan Aruch, the Torah, discussed the Isser of manufacturing graven images. And Beis Yosef brings down two opinions about whether the Isser is only to manufacture them or whether the Isser is also to use them. With each type of graven image, there is a separate diun. However, this particular piece of Yosef concerns menorahs. He says, Kos of Haran, the second line, Al pi pei rosh haram mi Rottenberg zal, the kol hani osur lekaimon, now they are keep them. Afilu b'shechirim osulo, even if goyim manufacture them. Chutz micham ulevan v'kuchavim u'mazalos, desharu b'shechirim osulo, those are mutar when goyim manufacture them, but everything else, including seven branch menorahs, are osur. Avamandivi Rabin Lakaman, I skip a couple of words to the end of the line. From the tour, says the Beis Yosef Lakaman Basamuch, coming up soon, Nira Sheinu Mechalik Bineyam, sounds like he doesn't differentiate, to Kulu Nam Yisharu Vishachirim Asuloi, Kohicha Delikla Michash Lechashad, everything is mutter, as long as it wasn't manufactured by Jews. And potentially, this parallels the same machlokas. If the Isser is lotas soniti, the manufacturer of graven images, so then there's not going to be any Isser diaraisa in keeping them or in using them, because the Isser is manufacturing, and in this case, the Goyim manufactured it. They don't have a prohibition. But if the Isser is Meira Mikdash, then it's much easier to understand why there might be an Isser Kiyum and an Isser Hishtamshos, because as long as you have a seven-branch menorah around, and as long as you're using it, that takes away from the uniqueness and the mora of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's a potentially a second nafkamina. The third nafkamina emerges from the Sheva Halevi's analysis of these three sets of psukim. The first set of psukim is in Shmos Parakhav Hei, which tells you how to build a menorah. Sisa menorah sahav tahor, should be miksha, should have a yarech and a kana, and a gviim and kaftorim and prachim, and the gviim, kaftorim and prachim should be mimena, and how there should be six kanim coming out from the side, three on one side, three on another side, and where should you put the gviim, and the kaftorim and the prachim, how many in each place. Again, reiterating that it should all be mimena, and it should all be miksha, and it should all be zahav tahar. And there should have seven neros. And it tells you a little bit about how the neros should be lit. That when you light the menorah, the same lashon of v'ha'aloscha, so it should all face the center, and it should have malkachos and machtos. And the total measurement of gold that's used should be kikar of zahav. And that's a parsha in Shmos and Parshas Truma. In contrast, in Vayikra, in Parshas Amor, the focus is on the mitzvahs hadlaka. It says, Tik shem and zayizach, kasis lamar, for the purpose of halas near. You should do it outside the paruches ha'idos. It should be lit from Erev Ad Boker. And then Al Hamenorah HaTahora Yaruchas HaNiros, that all this lighting should be done on the Menorah HaTahorah. So pretty much no instructions at all in Vayikra and Parshas Amor about how to manufacture the menorah. It's all about candle lighting. And then in Bamidbar and Bahalosha, you have a combination of the two. It says, tell Aaron that when you light the menorah, so all of the candles should be facing the center. And Aaron did that, he lit it. And this is how the menorah is manufactured. There should be miksha zahav, the yarich, the parach should be miksha, just like Hashem showed Moshe. That's how Hashem made the menorah. So you have two parashios, one of them exclusively about halakha, one of them mainly about the asiya, with a little bit about the halakha, and one of them mainly about the halakha with a little bit about the asiya. So the Shivat Alivi has the following question. I mean, the Ramban, by the way, and other Mefarshim ask, why do we need three parashios? Why didn't we just condense all of the hadlakos into one parasha? And the Ramban asks this separately, both in Vayikra and in Bamidbar. So in Vayikra, he says, Rashi tells you that really we're just repeating that at Har Sinai, so Hashem told Moshe that when you get to Parshas Emor, you should tell them about the Hadlakas Neros. The Ramban says that there were two separate times, that they first had the first collection of the Shemen Zayizach, and then they ran out of the initial Shemen Zayizach, and so Hashem told Moshe that they should make a new collection of Shemen Zayizach, and that's how he explains the redundancy in Vayikra. And then in Bamidbar, the Ramban says that the stripped down description of the menorah is to tell you that the requirements, what's ma'akev in the menorah's hamikdash, is not as much as you would have thought from Shmos, from Parshas Truma, that the requirements are lower. All that you need is miksha zahav, ad yirecha, ad pircha, miksha hi, but everything else, the gviim, kaftorim, prachim, etc., are not ma'akev. So the Shevet Alivi has a kasha, I think it's his gimel kofav, he has a kasha and asks, the Ramban is against the Gemara. The Gemara says that all of these things are ma'akiv, at least if the menorah is made out of gold. The Ramban is saying that even if the menorah is made out of gold, these things are not ma'akiv. He comes up with the beautiful tarets. He says there's two dinim in the menorah. There's the din of menorah as part of mitzvah's hadlaka, and there's also the din of menorah as part of the Beis HaMikdash HaBenuya. Now, why do you need a Beis HaMikdash HaBenuya? Because otherwise you can't bring karbanos. The Beis HaMikdash needs to be b'shleimusa in order to bring karbanos. So there's a menorah as a hechitimtzi for mitzvahs hadlaka, and there's a menorah as a chelek of the Beis HaMikdash HaBenuya as a matir for karbanos. So it says the Shevet Alevi, in Shemos we're describing the menorah as a matir for karbanos, and in Pahaloscha we're describing the menorah as a hechitimtzi for hadlaka. So two separate dinim of the menorah. So that raises the question, well, when we talk about the iser to manufacture a menorah which is a likeness of the menorah's hamikdash, which of the two menorahs does the iser apply to? Does it apply to the menorah of Teruma, of Shmos? Or does it apply to the menorah of Bamidbar, of Bahaloscha?
Tali in that earlier machlokas, potentially.
So that's what I was thinking, that it may be Tali in that machlokas. So Shevet Alevi assumes that we're going to be machmir for both menorahs. But you might say the following, that if the Isser is Morah Mikdash, so then it really would be the menorah's hamikdash, which is asur to replicate, but the menorah, which is a hechitimtzi for halakas neros, should be mutar to replicate. But if the isur is lo tasuni ti, don't replicate the shamashim, hamashamshim lfanai, so then even the menorah as a hechitimtzi for halakha should not be manufactured, because the fact is that halakha is a form of shimush to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, And the menorah is therefore a shamash for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so the Isser of Lotas Suniti, don't replicate my shamashim, would apply even to the lower, the menorah's hahadlaka, which has a lower set of requirements.
Is the seven branches part of the lower set?
The seven branches still are. And you have to ask, I mean, this would require a whole bunch of forensic work, because the Gemara in Menachos learns out Limudim. How do we know that the seven branches are Ma'akiv? How do we know that the seven Neros are Ma'akiv? How do we know that being made out of metal is Ma'akiv? And it learns it out from Psukim. So the Pashtos, all of the Psukim are going to appear in Parshas Truma. I don't have here the Limudim. But the Pashtos, they're all going to be from Parshas Truma. They're not going to be from Ba'alos. I have to check again in Menachos where it's from. If that's so, so then it would suggest, number one, that it's the menorah of the Mikdash HaBenuya, which is the Isser, which again, that's not going to tell you which side, which mitzvah it comes from, because both of them acknowledge that that menorah is going to be Asr. The only difference between the two possibilities is the menorah's HaHadlaka going to be Asr as well, if it's because of Lotas Soniti. It makes a lot more sense that the menorah's HaHadlaka should be Asr as well. So, but in the Psukim in Bamidbar, they're not, the Gemara doesn't learn that out at all. That should be the source for the Isser. Which would mean that at least potentially it would be mutter to make something which is Doma to the Menorah Sahadlaka. That at least potentially it would be mutter to make something which is Doma to the Menorah Sahadlaka. So that would be three naftaminas. So one other ha'ara. There's a number of very, very strange accounts of the hadlaka that the Hashmonaim did when they entered the Beis HaMikdash. So we have here on the first page, I have four different accounts of it, but just to read some of the most interesting one is the Psikta Rabasi. It says, this is the third line, Nichnasu lebeis hamikdash, matzu sham shmona shvodim shel barzel. They found eight iron poles, the kavuo sam, and they set them. They had liku betocham neros, and then they lit neros in them. So on Erev Shabbos, I was discussing this Psikta Rabasi, and people were, eight poles. Some sofer says must be a tau sofer, seven poles it should say. Somebody said, no, maybe it means that they used one pole as a base and then the other seven poles were coming out of it. Is it possible to say that the number seven is not ma'akev for mitzvahs hadlaka? I don't know, but according to the Shevet Halevi's analysis, it doesn't say anywhere seven branches in Ba'aloscha, that's all in Truma. So maybe the number of branches is not really ma'akiv. It's a possibility. There are other anomalies about the menorahs hachashmonaim as well. Just one of them is the Gemara Menachos here that brings the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that it was a wooden menorah. Wooden menorah wouldn't be kosher, according at least for the menorahs hamikdash. Because there's a klal prado klal, a riboy miyot riboy, whatever it might be, in Truma, which excludes a wooden menorah. The Marsha says, Rabbi Yossi was right, the Chashmonaim lit a wooden menorah. The Chassam Sofer also says, Rabbi Yossi was right, they lit a wooden menorah, even though it's a menorah psula. So what did they think they were doing? They just had such tremendous, it's like the famous story about Reb Chaim Kanievsky and the Kash on the Ramban, Hamiv and Yavin. But or the Rav and the woman who wanted to wear tzitzis, both similar stories. So why were the Chashmonaim lighting a menorah if they weren't yotzei anything? But if you follow the Sheva Levi's analysis, then it could be that they were yotzei mitzvahs hadlaka, because the menorah as a hichitimtzi for hadlaka might not have the same requirements as a menorah as part of Beis HaMikdash.
They didn't have any karbonos then.
They probably didn't bring karbanos until the menorah was kshira. So these are all speculations. It's hard to know if it's, you know, how do you have miksha?
Zav.
Right, but zav is not ma'akiv. Even the Gemara Darshan says zav is not even ma'akiv in the menorah's hamikdash. It could be made out of any type of metal. So if zav is lav dafka, maybe the miksha is also lav dafka because most poskim assume that miksha is also namakiv, except if it's zahav. So if you say that those words are anyhow namakiv, then why not have a wooden menorah also, at least for mitzvahs hadlaka?
So it should be machmir for both. Would it then be a problem to have, you know, have more than seven? Because